Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Wednesday, April 16th. I'm Abby Larico. Missouri Republican lawmakers are working to pass a second version of the Second Amendment Preservation Act after the first version was struck down as unconstitutional. Law enforcement groups aren't happy about it.
I've never seen a group of people that say they're pro-police that are less willing to sit down and talk with us, less willing to make changes that we believe are in the best interest of law enforcement.
We'll learn more about why the bill is back on the table this session, coming up after this news on The Gateway. Kara Spencer is now the mayor of St. Louis. The former 8th Ward alderwoman was sworn into office during a public ceremony at City Hall yesterday. In her inaugural address, Spencer pledged to improve city services and bolster crime prevention efforts. She also emphasized a desire to work across the city's disjointed political spectrum for longer-term goals, including spending a St. Louis Rams settlement.
We can no longer afford to operate in silos. We have to bring creativity, innovation, and collaboration to our work, all of our work.
St. Louis Comptroller Donna Behringer and Board of Aldermen members representing odd-numbered wards also took their oaths of office yesterday. Missouri Attorney General Andrew Bailey will have a chance to appeal a ruling that exonerated Christopher Dunn, the St. Louis man who spent 34 years behind bars for a murder prosecutors say he didn't commit. In a 4-3 decision yesterday, the Missouri Supreme Court returned the case to the state's appellate court to consider Bailey's appeal. The ruling comes more than 8 months after the St. Louis Circuit Attorney's Office dropped charges against him and Dunn walked free from prison. Bailey's office has spent years opposing the release of people in Missouri found to be wrongfully convicted. It's unclear when the appeals court will take up Dunn's case. Missouri House Republicans have given initial approval to a proposed constitutional amendment, essentially repealing and replacing the abortion rights that voters put in place just months ago. St. Louis Public Radio's Sarah Kellogg reports.
The House voted 94-50 to advance the amendment. Only two Republicans voted against it. The amendment would repeal almost the entirety of Amendment 3 that voters approved of in November. It would make abortions illegal again in Missouri, with limited exceptions for rape, incest, and medical emergencies. It also gives the legislature the ability to pass laws related to abortion. House Democrats repeatedly slammed the legislation, saying it goes against what Missourians voted for 5 months ago. Representative Rachel Prouty also said this amendment would not lead to the outcome Republicans want.
You think you're stopping abortions with these ridiculous bills? You're not. You're stopping safe, legal abortions.
The amendment would also have to be approved by voters. In Jefferson City, I'm Sarah Kellogg, St. Louis Public Radio.
An estimated 8-10% of Missourians are without health coverage. That's according to the Missouri Farm Bureau. The organization aims to close that gap by offering health plans to its members, but patient advocates warn against the drawbacks to unregulated health plans. Emily Kalmer is the Missouri Government Relations Director for the American Cancer Society and says the health plans don't have to comply with consumer and patient protections established in Missouri law.
This bill allows the sale of unregulated health plans, not legally insurance, and they would leave Missourians, including cancer patients, exposed to medical and financial harm.
The bill enabling Farm Bureau health plans has passed the Missouri State Senate and is scheduled for a hearing in the House today. Two St. Louis area coal plants are getting an air pollution exemption from President Donald Trump. St. Louis Public Radio's Kate Grumke reports.
The president is giving Ameren's Labadie and Sioux Energy Centers 2 extra years to comply with a Biden-era mercury pollution rule. The Labadie coal plant is the 5th largest emitter of mercury in the country. The Sierra Club's Andy Knott says mercury is one of the most well-documented toxins.
Ameren is literally putting profit above people by seeking this exemption and delaying really critical safeguards for public health.
In a letter asking for the exemption, an Ameren director said complying with the rule would increase costs for customers and threaten the St. Louis grid. I'm Kate Grumke, St. Louis Public Radio.
The Republican resolution to fund the federal government, passed last month, did not include more than $4 million needed for several Metro East projects. STLPR's Will Bauer reports Democratic Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski of Illinois says she's disappointed.
The $4.3 million includes funding a portion of sewer repairs in Cahokia Heights, building water treatment plants in Glen Carbon and America Central Port in Granite City, and restoring a community center in Brooklyn. Budzinski says the resolution means these projects won't happen without federal funding.
These are all shovel-ready projects. But even though they're shovel-ready, if they don't know that a check is coming, a community cannot be on the hook for that bill.
The GOP resolution also did not include $54 million for an Army Corps of Engineers plan to improve navigation and restore the natural ecosystem along the Upper Mississippi River. Budzinski says she'll resubmit the projects in the next fiscal year's budget. In Granite City, I'm Will Bauer, St. Louis Public Radio.
As leaders of KDHX prepare to ask a judge to approve a sale of the community radio station to Christian radio network K-Love, a second Christian broadcaster is trying to outbid the offer. Gateway Creative Broadcasting, which operates Joy FM 99.1 and Boost Radio in St. Louis, has offered $5.5 million for KDHX's radio frequency and other assets. K-Love offered at least $4.3 million, plus half a million more if the sale goes through quickly. A bankruptcy court judge will consider that second offer today, as well as objections to the K-Love sale made by former KDHX volunteers and DJs. The Music at the Intersection Festival in September will bring Common, Patti LaBelle, Branford Marsalis, and other headliners to Midtown St. Louis. St. Louis Public Radio's Jeremy Goodwin reports.
Other artists will include De La Soul and St. Louis musicians, including Black Spade and the Cosmos, Marquise Knox with Funky Butt Brass Band, Anita Jackson, and others. The festival will add a third night this year and will let people without tickets stroll past vendors and get a taste of the event. The Kreuzberg Arts Foundation produces the Maddie Festival. Executive Director Chris Hansen says this year's version will show off Midtown and Grand Center.
The small businesses, the nonprofits, the artists, and everybody in the neighborhood can just experience this district in its full capacity. It's a really sharp tool in the toolbox for building civic pride and showcasing St. Louis as a premier cultural destination.
Tickets to Maddie will go on sale in July. I'm Jeremy Goodwin, St. Louis Public Radio.
Republicans in Missouri are again pushing a bill called the Second Amendment Preservation Act through the legislature. A previous version was signed into law in 2021, but was then struck down by the courts as unconstitutional. The Midwest Newsroom's Kayvon Mansouri has been covering the issue. He spoke about the law's comeback with STLPR's Brian Moline.
So, Kayvon, what is a Second Amendment Preservation Act?
Basically, it's a gun rights law that seeks to halt the enforcement of federal gun laws in Missouri by making law enforcement liable to civil lawsuits when and if they enforce a federal law. Those lawsuits can be filed by just about any citizen in the state, and law enforcement can be liable for up to $50,000 per violation of the law.
And as I understand it, this is the second version of the act?
Yeah. Former Governor Mike Parson signed the original Second Amendment Preservation Act into law in 2021, but legal challenges from then-President Joe Biden's Department of Justice, St. Louis and Jackson counties, and others stopped the law in its tracks. A federal judge eventually ruled the act was unconstitutional because the law itself sought to brand federal laws, the laws of the land, null and void in Missouri. That judge and a three-judge panel in the 8th District Court of Appeals said the law was unconstitutional for violating the Constitution's Supremacy Clause. State laws can't overrule federal laws.
So a new version of this act recently passed out of the House, and what's different about it this time?
I spoke with Brian Malone, an attorney who advises cities and law enforcement agencies in Missouri. He said the main difference he sees between the old law and the new version is that legislators are no longer trying to invalidate federal gun laws here.
All they're saying, and I think legally they have the authority to do this, is saying local police officers in Missouri are not going to enforce federal laws. It's not a question of legality. It's a question of public policy.
Malone says the new law is reflective of what the appeals court told the state it needed to do when it rejected Attorney General Andrew Bailey's appeal of the original law last year.
Your previous reporting on the Second Amendment Preservation Act showed that police were upset with the law. Is that still true?
Very much so. Law enforcement groups across the state are making it known that they're not happy with the resurgence of the law, especially since the new laws don't add any clarity for them on what they can and cannot do. A big complaint police officials had last go around revolved around a lack of guidelines within the law for what police could and could not do with federal law enforcement. Police across the country work with federal law enforcement agencies to solve crimes, and there's a good deal of confusion about what can and can't be done under this type of law with those partners. Steve Lewis, a police chief from Ellisville and vice president of the Law Enforcement Legislative Coalition in Missouri, says the bill will be a major headache for police across the state. And the coalition itself says lawmakers aren't being responsive to their concerns, while at the same time branding the proposed law as, quote, pro-cop.
I've been on the job 35 years. I've been in law enforcement for that long. I've never seen a group of people that say they're pro-police that are less willing to sit down and talk with us, less willing to make changes that we believe are in the best interest of law enforcement.
So where is this currently proposed Second Amendment Preservation Act headed, Kayvon?
The bill will head to the Missouri Senate, where police hope amendments will sort out their concerns. On the legal side, most of the people I've spoken with expect the law will face more legal challenges if it ends up passing. And in the meantime, Attorney General Andrew Bailey continues to try to revive the original law. He's asking the U.S. Supreme Court to take up the case, even though they've declined to pick up the case once.
Thanks a lot, Kayvon.
My pleasure.
That was the Midwest Newsroom's Kayvon Mansouri speaking with STLPR's Brian Moline. You can find more of Kayvon's reporting on the Second Amendment Preservation Act at stlpr.org. The Midwest Newsroom is a collaboration including NPR and public radio stations in Missouri, Iowa, Kansas, and Nebraska, and is a member of the Trust Project. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.